The book of Ruth, chapter 3, and once you find it, let's stand out of respect for the word of God. The book of Ruth, chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse number 18, Ruth chapter 3 and verse number 18. Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." In case it's your first time being here, we've been dealing with the book of Ruth. There's been really a marriage proposal by Ruth to Boaz for him to fulfill his place as a kinsman redeemer. But he said, "There's somebody else a little bit closer than I am, and I'm going to go talk to them and see if they'll marry you. If that person won't, then I will." And that's where we find ourselves tonight. I want to speak for a few moments on this subject. It always pays to do right. It always pays to do right. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here this evening. And Father, I pray that we'll leave this building with a principle in our life, and that is that whatever happens, we're going to do right. Father, please take full control now. Bless as only you can. Give me liberty in the spirit tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Ruth had told Naomi, just sit still. Just kind of be a little patient. Relax a little bit. Boaz is going to take care of the business. He's going to handle yours, and he's going to handle his. Now, Ruth could have tried to manipulate the situation, but she didn't. She was just patient. She did what she was supposed to do. She waited on God, and it always pays to do right. You know, sometimes I was thinking, even in preparation for this, sometimes, you know, it's hard to do right when you see your friends not doing right. You know, it's hard to do right when you see your family not doing right. It's hard to do right when you see others not doing right. But if we realize that it always pays when we do right, then we're going to do right regardless of the situation, regardless of who's involved. We're going to always do right. And praise God, it paid off a big way for Ruth. It always pays to do right. Notice some things as we examine this text. Number one, notice the summons. The summons, S-U-M-M-O-N-S. Notice the summons. Ruth chapter 4, verse 1, down through verse number 6. Notice verse number 1. It says, "Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down." Notice the summons. The first thing that morning, Boaz was true to his word. He got up that morning. He went to the gate of the city. Now, the gate of the city was a place where they would have social gatherings. It'd be a place where they would meet and they would fellowship. But there was also a time when right there at the gate of the city when business would be transacted. And oftentimes, people would go into contract, would settle contract disputes, or they would go into a contract. It would be a place where you could have a court gathering if you please. And so now he gets up there and he noticed something happens. He noticed that somebody's walking by, that kinsman who was nearer than him, and he makes this statement. He said, "Ho, such a one." What he's saying is, we would say it like this: "Hey, so-and-so," trying to get his attention. And so he got his attention. He said, "You come sit down. I want to talk to you about something." Notice verse number 2. "And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down." So now Boaz has him sitting down. He wants to have a court hearing, if you please. And so now he's going to put this case out before the elders and the nearer kinsmen. Notice verse 3 and verse number 4. "And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise or to inform thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Now, Boaz told him the situation. He said, there's some land that needs to be redeemed. Naomi had lost some land. This land needs to be redeemed. You're the closest of kin. You're the nearest of kin. You're the one who has the responsibility of redemption. And so now you need to step in and purchase this land. And he said, hey, don't worry about it. I'll go ahead and take care of the lion. I'll buy it. No problem whatsoever. But now watch Boaz. See, Boaz dealt with the land first. Now, he's going to put Ruth in there. Notice verse number 5. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. He says, by the way, all right, if you want to buy the land, no problem, you can buy the land. But there's a little catch. Somebody's coming with it. You're going to have to go to the altar. You're going to have to marry Ruth. Now, see, he knew. He didn't have to worry about Naomi. But now it's Ruth. And see, I don't want to read too much into the scripture. Exegesis is where you pull what's in there out. Eisegesis is where you read something into the scripture that might or might not be there. So I don't want to read too much into it, but to be quite frank with you, I think he wants Ruth for himself. He knows a little bit about the situation because remember, he had already told Ruth that there's somebody nearer to you than me. But he just doesn't throw it out there at the very beginning. He throws the land out. Okay, now he sees where he's at. Okay, he's going to buy the land. Right, I'm going to throw a roof in here. But then something begins to happen. He makes a statement. He said, lest I mar mine own inheritance. In other words, he wanted the land, but not the woman. And there could be a few reasons for that. And one of them we definitely would know was the fact that he didn't want to have to rear up seed to Elimelech. He wanted to have his own legacy. We can understand that. We just know that's just how it works. And it could be, as some had speculated, that maybe he was just a little tight on the money. Which means that now, see, before, yeah, he got the land as his, but see, now he's going to have to support a wife. So he knows that's going to affect his pocketbook just a little bit. Matter of fact, the notes in my study Bible says something to that effect. Well, whether that's the case or not, he said, you know something? I wanted that land, but I just don't want to marry Ruth. And so we see how the summons, he's been called in. Boaz is working this thing now. And now notice that's going to lead me to my second point. Not only do we have the summons, but also notice the symbolism. The symbolism in verse 7 down through verse number 10. It says, now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing for to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore, the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead. We dealt with that just a second ago. Upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. So they understand what's going on. Boaz said, okay, I want you to buy the land. He said, no problem, I'll take care of the land. I want you to buy Ruth. No, I don't want her. All right, so now what you going to do? Okay, well, he's got to now start operating according to custom. And the custom was, if you did not want to raise up seed unto your brother, if you did not want to raise up seed as the near kinsman, then there were two things that would have to happen. If you had somebody who was willing to step in for you, then there was no disgrace that was placed before you. But if you did not have somebody who was willing to step in and do the job of a kinsman redeemer, and you still said, I will not marry her, I will not raise up seed to somebody else, I will not do it, then something had to happen. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 25. Keep your finger here now, but look at Deuteronomy chapter 25. He wasn't just taking off his shoes and giving them to him because he was trying to be nice that day. There's a purpose and a reason behind this. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 25, and notice verse 5 down through verse number 10. Deuteronomy 25, notice verse 5 down through verse number 10. When you get there, say amen. Yeah. All right, notice. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother, which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, and it could be a couple of reasons for that, matter of fact, a few reasons for that, as we've already mentioned. One could be because he wants to have his own name. And it could be his brother didn't make a good choice. You know where I'm going with that. His brother just didn't make a good choice. In other words, he's okay, you weren't wearing your spectacles that day. So I'm not married. For whatever reason. Couple. Notice. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth, verse number 6, shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders and say, my husband's brother refuseth to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. So now she's coming up to the gate and beginning to say these things. Notice verse number 8. Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak unto him. And if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face and shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's house, and his name shall be called in Israel the house of him that hath his shoe loosed. Now you think about that. He had to spend the rest of his life really in disgrace. If he did not want to carry out the role of the kinsman redeemer, you've already read it. She go up there, call the elders, they talk to him, she loosens shoe from off his foot. And spitting in someone's face is the ultimate sign and form of rejection. There's nothing else I don't think anybody else could ever do to you anymore that would be humiliating, frustrating, than somebody clearing their throat and spitting in your face. When they rejected the Savior of the world, when they did not want him, what did they do? They spit in his face. A sign of utter rejection. And so this man, for the rest of his life, somebody said, who is that? Oh, that's the house of him that has his shoe loose. Imagine having to bear that all your life. Well, see, the man here in the text in Ruth, there was no shame to what he did because there was somebody there who was able to step in and to take over. Notice again, go back to the book of Ruth again and notice chapter 4, verse number 10. It says, moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And so now the man took his shoe off. He gave it to Boaz. It wasn't just the fact that it was loose. There was an exchange that would take place. And the taking off of the shoe and passing forth of the shoe was done in this manner in Israel. And so by Boaz accepting this, then Boaz was saying, I accept full responsibility. I will take care and purchase all of this land, and I will also marry Ruth. Which leads to my third point. I said, number one, the summons. Number two, the symbolism. Notice number three, the supplication. The supplication. See, it always pays to do right. Even in this situation with Ruth, there's not going to be any kind of controversy. Notice verse 11 and verse number 12. Notice the supplication in verse 11, verse 12. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And we know that there were four altogether, but the other two were extras. Rachel and Leah, they named them, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. Matter of fact, Ephratah and Bethlehem, same place. Different name, but same place. Kind of like somebody saying Winston or somebody saying Winston-Salem. Same place, just a little different name, a little added. Something added there, but same name. You can check it out in Scripture. And let the house, or thy house, be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this woman. Understand what's going on. Here you've got people, and they are expressing their desire, their prayers, if you please, for her to be like Rachel and to be like Leah. They really were praying and desiring that the blessing of children would flow on her life. Remember, she was married before. Matter of fact, for a minimum, we know at least 10 years that she was married, but she didn't have any children. And now she's married to Boaz, and their great desire, especially in that culture, was to have many children, many children. Matter of fact, our Bible tells us that, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Here in America, we only want so many children. Matter of fact, when we first started, my wife and I first got married, we said we want to have 7 children. That's what we said when we got married. We want to have 7 kids. That's a number of completeness. After that third one, the quiver was full, the lid put on top, strapped down, and everything. Amen. Children cost. Can I get a witness? They cost. So some things change. Amen. But in this society, if you had a whole bunch of kids, that was a blessing. That was a sign that God was raining down his blessing upon you. And plus, those kids would be able to come along and help out. And then they made a statement. They said in verse number 12, "And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this woman." In other words, they wanted the blessing of ancestry to flow on his and her life. And by the way, it did. Notice the name Perez. Go over to verse number 18. Says, "Now these are the generations of Perez," and then they begin to deal with that, and I'll cover that in just a little bit. They want the blessing of ancestry to flow upon her. Hey, it was a blessing and is a blessing when people around you want great things for you and have great desires for you and want you to succeed. Hey, that is a blessing in itself. A blessing in itself. We see, number one, we see the summons. Then we see the symbolism taking off the shoe. Then we see the supplication. They want blessings to fall upon them. And then lastly, notice the supply. The supply. Notice chapter 4, verse 13 down through verse 22. God supplying Ruth and Boaz, but I'm going to focus mainly on Ruth, even though I may bring him in, as far as the blessings that's flowing. See, Ruth was a person who just did right. You look at her life. She just was a person who continually did what was right. And notice how God blessed her. Notice verse number 13. "So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son." See, because she did right, God gave Ruth a godly husband and a beautiful son. So how do you know it was beautiful? Beautiful to her, amen? Sometime when babies are born, it can be difficult on pastors. It really can. It can be difficult on pastors when babies are born. Because everybody thinks their baby's the cutest thing that can ever live. But some babies, just they look wrinkled. You know how it is. You remember how you may have heard me tell a story about the grandfather. He was there looking in the window when the baby was born. He said, "Hey, does that baby look just like me? Bald head and don't have any teeth." You'll get that one after a while. One preacher said, he got tired of, you know, basically not having to tell the truth. So he said, when somebody would say to him, how's our newborn look? He'd say, "My, what a baby." And let them draw their own conclusion. That's a way to get out of it. Just say, "My, what a baby." And let them figure it out for themselves. But because she did right, God gave her a godly husband, a man of character. And God gave her a son, a child. Do you know, if you do right, just do right. I don't care, as one priest said, until the stars fall, do right. God will always bless your life. He'll always orchestrate things and work them together for good if you just do what's right. Always operate according to the word and do what's right regardless of how we feel about it, and God will bless your life. He did it for her. What if she had stayed back there in that heathen country of Moab? But she left that heathen country of Moab. She became a child of the living God. She said, "Your people will be my people, Naomi, and your God will be my God." And she accepted the God of Israel as her God. She became a child of God. And whatever Naomi would tell her to do, once they got back in the will of God, she did it. And God honored that. Notice verse 14. "And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel." Her blessings flowed also unto her mother-in-law. Now she is a grandmother for the first time. Notice verse 15. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. Remember, when she first came back there, she said, don't call me Naomi. Naomi means beautiful, pretty. She said, call me, excuse me, pleasant. She said, call me Mara, 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 which means bitter, bitter, bitter. But then you can see the shift and the change that began to take place even in earlier chapters. And after she began to see how God was working something, and they said, now, this child right here is going to be a restorer of their life, going to give you new vitality and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, notice this, which loveth thee. These people had to see something. Which is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him. She came in as a Moabite woman with all kind of baggage back there. But she lived in such a way before the people until even when Boaz was talking to her, Boaz says, everybody in the city knows you're a virtuous woman. The people in that city begin to say, listen, we've been watching her. She loves you, Naomi, and she's been better to you than seven sons. You may have lost two back there, but oh, you got something special when you got her. She was a woman of character, and character will open doors for you that oftentimes skill cannot. A person of character, because see, it's God who will open the doors, and when he opens a door, nobody can shut that door. Notice verse number 16. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. Don't misunderstand that scripture. Naomi took the child and literally she embraced that child. It was a sign of love. Just like when Jesus was brought to the temple and the prophet was there in the temple, the man of God was there in the temple. He said, I'm ready to die, as he held him there. He said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And so she grabbed her, she held her, and said, and became nurse unto it. Don't think of it in the way that you're thinking. It literally means that she helped Ruth to raise that child. And which leads me to say, I could say something about Naomi, but grandparents can have a tremendous influence in the lives of their grandchildren. Notice verse 17 down through verse 22. Notice verse 17. And the woman, her neighbor, gave it, the women, her neighbors gave it a name, saying, there is a son born unto Naomi. Literally a descendant born unto Naomi, grandson. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now notice verse 18 down through verse 22. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon. Not Solomon, Solomon. And Solomon begat Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed. That was the name of their son. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. See, it always pays to do right. She became the great grandmother of King David. And she also became a woman who is now part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. As far as birthing Obed into the world, and then Obed with Jesse, and Jesse with David. See, it always pays to do right. God gave her a godly husband who just happened to be rich. And God allowed her to be, as I've already mentioned, one of the ladies mentioned in the genealogy. of Christ. So if I could say tonight, in conclusion, you're actually going to get out early tonight. It's the earliest we've got out in a long time. Now don't shout and say amen over there. But in conclusion, in 2013, I trust by God's grace that we'll say, you know something, I'm going to be just like Ruth. I'm going to do right in every situation that I'm involved in with God's help. I'm going to do right. Because see, if you do right, God will work things out in your life. Throughout life, we ought to always govern our lives by principles. Principles and precepts. And if we govern our lives by principles and by precepts, precepts being the word of God, principles coming from the word of God, if we will always have our life to line up with principles and precepts, then we're going to find out that our potentate will provide everything that we need. He'll provide us with possessions. He'll provide us with power. He can provide you with a person if you need it. You might be sitting here tonight thinking, I'll never get married. You just do right, and God can send you the right one at the right time. He can do it. But what we got to do is work on this person first. And then once this person is right, then God will give you the person that you need. You may be thinking, I'll never be able to have any kind of financial freedom whatsoever. All you've got to do is just do right according to the word. And after a while, God can give you some financial freedom. Ruth, if God didn't step in, she could have ended up just living a poor life for the rest of her life, just having to glean in people's fields. But God saw her doing right. And as a result of her doing right, God allowed her to go into the right field at the right time to meet the right person who just happened to be rich. And now she is a part of the lineage of the Savior of the world. From Moab to the blessing coming from God. Let's bow for a word of prayer.